Folks, it is a Freaky Friday, and even better, it's turtle time.
Oh, boy.
What could be better than that? The big wooden turtle is on the line. The Austin and Berm Show is desperate to go cover another Big Ten game and thirsty for road beers. It is time for some bold predictions. How pumped are you for this trip, Berm?
As pumped as I've been for any trip in like the last 2 weeks.
Wow. That is off the charts excitement.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to sit here and try to put makeup on a wooden turtle. Okay. Like champagne is not one of the favorite trips of the year, but it does
have a mouth.
Yeah. So I guess there's an availability on there, but
this won't make a lot of sense if you're listening to the audio only feed.
The nice thing is we are in a position to see what should be a really good football game, as we talked about on Thursday morning's episode of The Beat. So let's think about what the luxury is we get, the luxury we have, the luxury to cover a football game in America in the year 2025 as the sport continues to grow and evolve and dominate. And we get to watch two of the best teams in the country. And there's no shortage of interesting storylines. There's no shortage of talent. It should be a beautiful day, which is obviously for me on the field, that's the one thing I'm worried about the most is like, is Illinois going to be Illinois, like normal Illinois, or is it going to be 76 and sunny with 4 mile-an-hour winds? And apparently the weather tells me it's going to be that one. So that makes me more excited.
All right. All that to say, welcome to The Beat. It is the Austin and Berm Show. It is Freaky Friday. It is bold predictions. It is a top 20 showdown on Saturday, big noon kickoff on Fox, 11 a.m. Central Time in Champaign for Ohio State in Illinois. The spread has dropped slightly, Berm. So as we kick off this show by making some score predictions, boldly perhaps, right now the Buckeyes are favored by 14 and the over-under is 49.5. Where are you now compared to Monday?
I don't remember what I actually settled on Monday, but I'm about 27-17 Ohio State, I think, 27-16, somewhere in that ballpark. I think Illinois is going to score. I really like Luke Altmyer as a quarterback. I think that they've got weapons. The home team will have moments of momentum. There's going to be things that go their way, but ultimately Ohio State's talent is too much. Illinois' ability to get off the field when the Buckeyes are on third down, and Illinois' ability or inability to stop the Ohio State passing game, I think will be the difference makers. And so I think it will be an under. I do not think Ohio State will cover, but 27-17 Buckeyes.
Yeah, there is one number that just sticks out like a sore thumb when you look at the Illinois resume. And I'm not just talking about a 53-point loss. I am talking about the worst pass defense in the Big Ten. It is hard to be number 18 in a conference, because most conferences don't have that many teams. But the Illinois is giving up more than 250 yards a game through the air. They just gave up 300 yards passing to Purdue a week ago. I am not a doctor, but that doesn't seem like a healthy situation as you get ready for Julian Sayin, Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate, Brandon Ennis, Max Clair, James Peoples, C.J. Donaldson, Bo Jackson, Will Kazmarek. Oh. And yet there's still even more. Mylon
Graham. It's not ideal.
But I think that's bad.
Context matters. You know, let's be fair to Illinois. They did play Indiana already. They did play USC already. Purdue, I mean, Ryan Brown threw for almost 300 yards against Notre Dame as well. So they've actually played teams that are kind of like pass-first teams.
But Notre Dame's defense stinks too.
Maybe. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I'm trying to take the Ryan Day approach and throw out the Indiana game, but it's really hard to do it because it informs so much of the statistical level that Illinois is at.
But even then, like, Indiana just was running it down Illinois' throat in the fourth quarter. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I do think that what Altmyer and Hank Beatty have going here, I do believe, and I will boldly predict with the score prediction, that Illinois will be the first team to crack double figures. I wasn't convinced about that earlier in the week, but I've come around to it. But they're not going to be able to slow down the Ohio State passing attack. I think this may be a game where you do see more possessions and more tempo for Ohio State than you would anticipate for a top 20 road game. The way that Illinois is going to try and defend them probably will require that. So I think that this game, Berm, will be 38-13 Ohio State.
38-13 would be a pretty pretty resounding and like national proclamation level type of win for Ohio State.
I agree. And I think that that's going to happen. I think they're the most talented team in the country, and they certainly have a desperate and hungry coach who will want to send a message like that. And asked a little bit about Bo Jackson, which it appears on the screen that that will be your first bold prediction. And Ryan Day talking about what the next step will be for him as he sort of becomes this starting caliber and first team carry heavy back.
What was his answer to you when you asked that on Wednesday night?
He said, "Austin, I think you know the answer to this." And I was like, "Yeah, I kind of do, but you're going to have to say it to me anyway," which is that if you're going to become the Cadillac back for Ohio State, you need to be able to prove that you can handle 15 to 20 carries with the same energy, effort, enthusiasm, and ball security as if you're only getting 9. And I think that's always the next step. And even when we talk about James Peoples Berm, like I think that there's going to come a realization when that connects for him as well. We've seen this with plenty of other Ohio State backs where, you know, they try and hit a home run on every 20 carry, and that's not what Ohio State is looking for, not what anybody needs, and it's been to the detriment of the offense. And I'm not saying that Bo Jackson is doing that. I think there's a lot of other ways you could look at the relative lack of explosiveness from the run game and point to, you know, more consistent blocking or more creativity with the schemes. But, you know, it's the way to consistently find 4 and 5 yards and then occasionally hit that splash play that becomes the hallmark of if you can be an every down back.
Yeah, that's why Bo Jackson is at the top of my list. I think that this is a guy that has the opportunity and the talent to take things to the next level for Ohio State consistently. This is one of those classic something has to give bold predictions because Illinois forces more fumbles than I think anybody in the Big Ten, but I think they also have the third most missed tackles in the Big Ten. That is an area that they've struggled, and they struggled mightily against Indiana because of that fact. They have really struggled against the bigger tailbacks, and Bo Jackson is certainly one of those guys, but also Bo Jackson's had issues fumbling the football. So there's this meeting that's about to happen here, and it's going to require, you know, something special out of Bo because, as we talked about earlier this week, Illinois gave up 320-some rushing yards to Indiana, but they've been pretty good the rest of the way. But maybe that's because what you said earlier, they're just giving up so many passing yards, nobody has to run against them. But I think that Bo Jackson's in a position now where he is the first guy trotted out onto the field last week against Minnesota. Fully expect that to be the case again this week. The guy who had the most carries at Washington, at Minnesota, like or against Minnesota, this is the way it's going now. It's not an anomaly. He's the starting tailback. He's RB1. And I think he's in for a big game. He's got the opportunity and the talent to bust a couple big runs like he did early in the year. And especially if Illinois continues to struggle with the tackle situation, you just got to hold on to the ball. Hold on to the ball, and Bo Jackson's going to have a big day. And I'm going to say he's going to have 158 yards on 20 carries and 3 touchdowns for Ohio State.
Yeah. Wow. That's a pretty big day. I think that when Ryan Day was talking about Bo Jackson putting the ball out at the goal line, like lots of running backs do that to score touchdowns. But if you have a concern or a documented practice, you know, resume of lack of ball security, you don't really have the right to do that, right? I think, I don't know, it was Ryan Day telling every running back, don't try and score a touchdown by reaching the football out. It was like, I think there's still some trepidation. Even though Bo Jackson has earned the starting job, the top amount of carries on this in this backfield, it's like it still seems to be in the back of Ryan Day's mind. And when you're playing opponent like Illinois, which leads the Big Ten in turnover margin, I think that was just like continued emphasis that was Bo specific and not just like blanketly applies to every running back.
Yeah. So let's call it whatever the number is. Let's go 17 to 20 carries, 150 plus yards, and let's revise that down. 2 touchdowns because Julian Sand's going to throw at least one. And so my current score prediction of 27-17, if Bo's got 3, that means the Buckeyes either don't have a passing touchdown or they miss an extra point. And I'm not going to wish that missed extra point juju on anybody. So let's go to field goals, but 2 touchdowns for Bo Jackson. Because as Spencer Holbrook of Letterman Row will point out, Jaden Fielding has never missed a kick on the road.
That is a useful stat indeed. He has famously missed a few in the horseshoe, including one last week. And that I think should cover us for special teams on
predictions
this week. It does for me. I'm not going back to it, even though Brandon Ennis did make one whale of a play on special teams last week with the punt return and throwback to Lorenzo Styles. Maybe, Berm, I'm just too gullible. But if Jeremiah Smith, who has become and just frankly is a truth teller for the Buckeyes, if he says to me and you, Brandon Ennis is next, I'm just going to believe it. I think that don't think that there's any reason to lie or mislead. Jeremiah has talked very fondly about the work ethic and the leadership and looking up to Brandon Ennis for years as they both grew up down there playing wide receiver in Florida. And, you know, and I don't think it's going to be anything crazy. I think, like, I'm going to boldly predict 5 catches for Brandon Ennis, which would be 2 more than he's had in any other game. I think all 5 of them will go for either moving the chains or finishing in the end zone. So 4 will be for first downs. 1 will be a touchdown. And he will finish with 73 yards in this game. Like, is that the most outlandish thing to predict for anybody? Does that qualify as a true breakout in the mold that Jeremiah Smith was describing after the game against Minnesota last week on the notebook? No, probably not. But I think it would be a reminder of why Ryan Day and Brian Hartline and the rest of the Ohio State wide receivers continue to talk about Brandon Ennis as being a really important cog in this offense, even if statistically you look at the box score and it doesn't bear itself out there.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to Jeremiah Smith on Wednesday night talk about how he's been looking up to Brandon Ennis since he was 9 years old, I mean, the impact Brandon Ennis makes on this team is certainly beyond the box score, but you also have to find ways to be a part of the box score if you want to be a guy that people continue to look to and call on. And Brandon is, I think it would be very helpful for Ohio State if Brandon can go out this weekend and showcase a little bit of his athleticism, because I think there's been some questions that people around the country have had about his explosiveness this season when he's had the ball in jet sweeps and ends arounds. And, you know, obviously playing in the slot, you're not called upon to stretch the field a lot, but Brandon is a really good athlete. He's very shifty. He can make plays. I'd like to see him get an opportunity to get down the field a little bit and use some of his receiver skills, because we've seen more of his skills as a quarterback this season than we have as a receiver. So, you know, more as a running back and quarterback than we have as a receiver. So it's time to really lean into that and reward the guy. I mean, Brian Hartline and Ryan Day are certainly not sitting at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center saying, well, we have to get player X this number of touches. But there is a desire to reward people that do things the right way and that you're leaning on. And Brandon Ennis is that guy. So time to step up. And Illinois is going to probably have their eyes a little bit on Max Clair after his 5-catch game a week ago. So I think it sets up nicely for Brandon Ennis to be that guy, regardless of whether Jeremiah Smith is prognosticating it a week ahead of time or not.
Yeah. And he's also been a fantastic blocker, Brandon Ennis. He does a lot of the dirty work. And, you know, I'm not bringing that up to be like, you know, praise this man for doing whatever and ignore that he's not having catches. I think that given what's around Brandon Ennis on this team, primarily with Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate, if you subtract, and I know Ryan Day tried to do this and I kind of scoffed at it a little bit, like don't think about the special teams and the fumble on the punt return with Washington. The 3 catches and those 3 drive extending plays, like, that's realistically all you need from Brandon Ennis. And if he averages 2 and 3 catches and 3 first downs per game while blocking and not demanding the football a lot more, like, that's, you can take that. Now, if one of those guys didn't exist, we'd be having a different conversation and that the amount of touches would have to be different for Brandon Ennis. But as this team is constructed now, they probably don't have to be, which will make a 5-catch performance with a touchdown stand out even more on Saturday. This man stands out all on his own because he's 8 feet tall and bulletproof.
One of the funniest things about Wednesday night's availability at Ohio State, and this is not to besmirch the question asker, I want to be clear. Arvel Reese is so uncomfortable talking about Arvel Reese, and I think that's like a really good quality. Unfortunately for Arvel Reese, everyone else in the country is talking about Arvel Reese, and so there's going to be people who want to dive into his psyche and try and psychoanalyze what he thinks about himself on the field or what he wants to do on the field. But the line on Wednesday basically was just trying to figure out, to pull out of him, like, who are you? What makes you special? And it's like, I just do a lot of things. And like, that's there doesn't need to be much more said than that. And in the last couple of weeks, going back to the Ohio game with Parker Navarro and then the Washington game with Damon Williams, we've been able to see Arvell put the depth of his talents on display, some of it in the spy role, which he seems to really savor, some of it as a traditional edge rusher, some of it as a off-ball linebacker. He's doing everything. And I think that, you know, he's a guy that is going to continue to get better. And this is one of those weeks that sets up really nicely for him. Illinois has been throwing the ball a lot lately, let's be clear, but they still are a team that wants to establish the run, and that opens up a big opportunity for Arvell to be an impact player in this game. But beyond that, Luke Altmyer is a statue in the pocket. Now, he's a statue, let me be clear. He's a statue compared to Damon Williams or compared to Parker Navarro. He's not Joe Flacco or anything like that, but he is a guy that has taken 19 sacks this season already. So Illinois giving up almost over three a game. Altmyer does have the ability to stretch some things out. I mean, he's got a 25-yard run against Duke. He has negative rushing yards on the season because of the sacks. But
I can't remember. Does Duke have an Arvell Reese on their team?
Not to my knowledge, but I'm not entirely sure how that works on a week-to-week basis around the league, around the college football. But I think this is just a game that sets up for Arvell to do a lot of things. It's traditional pass rushing, dropping into coverage and covering running backs and tight ends, chasing down Altmyer when he does decide to try to break the pocket, because, you know, like, this is the game for Arvell. I think you're going to see a double-digit tackle game, two sacks, and two turnover creations. I don't know what they're going to be. I don't know if it's a tip ball that turns into an interception for someone else. I don't mm-hmm. know if it's a strip sack fumble. I don't know if it's just hitting a running back in the hole and causing a fumble. But I think this is a national coming out party for Arvell Reese, or kind of like the ribbon on top of the national coming out party for Arvell Reese, as it's a, you know, big noon kickoff, top 25 game, all of the attention that's going to be on this one. I think he's in for a huge day. So give me double digit tackles, two sacks, and multiple turnovers created.
I do feel, I feel a little bit bad for Arvell as he's rocketed to national celebrity here, almost overnight, because as you mentioned, he's always been kind of, you know, shy and doesn't want to talk about himself, doesn't necessarily seek the spotlight in that way. He gets it when he's on the field. Like, that's when he's in his element. But like, for any of these freaks, these aliens, a Caleb Downs, a Jeremiah, an Arvell, how are they supposed to describe like what makes them great? Like, it's not like they started as not aliens and then yeah. built themselves into it and could say, well, I did this and this, and I ate these vitamins and I took this rep, and then all of a sudden it connected and I was good. Like, these guys have always been off yeah. the charts athletes. And I don't envy them to be in that position, because we all want to be able to write the story of their growth and, you know, development, and they did this and that, and here's the origin story. But like, sometimes these outer space craft just drop people onto our planet and they can't really explain that. They're not allowed to.
Yeah. You're just born that way. And Arvell's born that way. And he doesn't want to talk about it. He's just really, really good at it. It's fun to watch. I'm hoping, selfishly, the Ohio State fan in me is like, please, Arvell, just give us one more year. Like, just let's see what you can become. Because
you started this. You said, I know, but months ago.
I told, because I wanted to be ahead of it, because I don't like to be disappointed when something happens. But I think back, and a lot of people's like favorite Buckeyes in the last decade, you're talking about the Marshawn Lattimores, the Malik Hookers, like the 1 year explosion and then they're gone. It's like, man, that stinks, because I mean, you know, and it's selfish. Ohio State gets used to seeing great players come through the program, but you want to see more of these guys, because like, next year when Arvell is playing in Dallas, like for the Cowboys, you're gonna be like, oh, that's annoying. We only got to see that for 1 year.
Well, now I will say that there is at least an opportunity where this could happen, where it couldn't for a Malik Hooker, a Marshawn Lattimore, a Dwayne Haskins, like where the NIL opportunities at Ohio State can keep you around longer. I would bet that Ohio State makes a competitive offer if he is on the pace he's on for the next seven regular season games and everything beyond that. and it becomes undeniable that he's a first round pick, well, the money then gets astronomical and you're just not able to guarantee that level. We had that conversation with Marvin a couple years ago where, like, it's, and Paris Johnson both, they both had, like, Ohio State didn't just throw up their hands and be like, well, they're gone, there's nothing we can do. It's like, here's what we can do. Now, is it going to match up with $25 million guaranteed? You know, probably not. You may need to go, but at least, like, Ohio State will do everything it can to give the option to Arvell Reese.
Yeah, and like Arvell, I'm sorry, like Paris and like Marvin, Arvell is a guy that I think, and now we're getting way ahead of things here, but like I think internally probably isn't opposed to the idea of sticking around for another year. Like, he's still pretty young. He's still learning defense. He's still trying to figure out everything he can do. And Ohio State is giving him a platform to do everything that he wants to do. So, but as you said, when you start to talk about, you know, guaranteed first round pick money, and I've seen NFL draft experts this week who have, you know, are talking about him as a top 10, top 12 pick. And like, you know, when that happens, there's no way to bring him back. But either way, I would just say to Ohio State fans, enjoy him and enjoy him this weekend because he's going to have a big one.
Yeah, that's right. I think I agree with everything that you boldly predicted there. You didn't drill down much. You just said, well, it could be this or that or the
because
other thing.
Because there's no way to drill down with Arvell. He does things so many different ways. It's hard, you know, if you don't have any tendencies, you're not really good at anything. That in this case is false because he's really good at everything. And so you don't really have a way to know which way he's going to be used. And some of that's because Matt Patricia is a witch, a warlock. But some of it is just because Arvell does things out of instinct that are so natural and impressive that you're like, oh, I didn't expect to see that.
Yeah. The tendency is wherever the football is, Arvell Reese will be there. And Bo Atkinson will be trying to fly around to that football as well on Saturday against Illinois. As you mentioned, Luke Altmaier is not the most dual threat quarterback that Ohio State will face. Now, we've also seen opportunities in the past where the pass rush can you shouldn't take that part for granted. Like Drew Aller, I think, had a couple double-digit runs and had, you know, Dylan Raiola did the same thing a year ago. Like, you still have to pay attention to that. Just because he's not as naturally gifted as a Damon Williams or Parker Navarro or whoever else, Daquan Finn, like, you still have to be aware of that. You cannot just give up and recklessly pursue the passer. But I do think, so here's the part that gets complicated. I don't want to boldly predict anything about the status and the availability of Kenyatta Jackson.
Yeah.
I've been doing this long enough with Ryan Day that as much as we want to read the tea leaves, as much as we pay attention to, are you in pads? What do you look like coming off the field? Do you give a thumbs up coming off the field? Does Ryan Day say it's trending the right way? Are you optimistic? I don't know. And I don't know specifically what that injury is, but I would be surprised if Kenyatta Jackson gets a full every down workload on Saturday. And Ohio State is now in a position where I don't think that that's a necessity because Bo Atkinson, Logan George, and Zion Grady are all showing signs of improvement. And Bo Atkinson was brought in for a reason to help this pass rush and to be stout stopping the run. And I think he can do both of those things. And he's another one of these defensive ends where, you know, I'm struggling to find an exact comparison for who he's like. But I almost feel like he can give the same level of production that Zach Harrison did. And you tell me if I'm way off base on that or not, Berm, or if you disagree. I don't think he's going to win a ton of one-on-ones, but he's going to be in the right position. He's got enough athleticism that if you try to run away, he can reel you in. Certainly Luke Altmaier, he'd be able to. I think he knows his assignment. Whatever Larry Johnson asks him to do, I think he's going to execute it at a high level. And that's going to put him in a position to make some plays that, like, don't require you to be Chase Young or Joey Bosa or Nick Bosa. And I'm not trying to diminish Bo Atkinson's skill set either. I think he's a very good player. And I think he's adapting well to this system now with, you know, five games under his belt. Didn't have spring practice with Ohio State. Like, that is worth reiterating. I think we're going to see him get better and better as the year goes on. But I think for this game particularly, it's going to lead to two sacks, one more tackle for loss on top of that, and let's say six total tackles for him.
That'd be quite a game. I think the Zach Harrison comparison is pretty good. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, athletic upside, he's not running a 4.6 or whatever like Zach would do. And maybe he's a slightly less prolific dodgeball level athlete than Sam Hubbard. But like, I think that the Zach Harrison, Sam Hubbard things are kind of up, you know, where I would lean. I mean, if you look, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can, or 10TV or 10TV Plus, you can see this photo that we have of Bo Atkinson. It kind of just reminds me of a Sam Hubbard photo I took.
I think you have 100 Sam Hubbard photos that look like this.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's some similarities there, but yeah, there's been a lot of discussion about the development track for Max Clair in the last couple of months, and Ryan Day multiple times talking about how, you know, maybe the transition from practices at Purdue to practices at Ohio State had taken a little bit of time for Max to get there. And now you're starting to see him come out of it. Like, that is doubly true for Bo Atkinson, who did not practice, as you said, at Ohio State in the spring and came from an absolute disaster in North Carolina. And
maybe triply true for Bo Atkinson based on the absolute dumpster fire that is Chapel Bill.
So, you know, I think a lot of people were fairly concerned about Bo's athletic profile in the first couple of games when he looked maybe a little uncertain about what he was doing or what his role was at Ohio State. But the last couple of games, he's flashed to me. And I think that this is a weekend that sets up really nicely for him, not even because of Kenyatta's situation or potential situation, but just because he's working himself more into the rotation. He's proving himself like really stout in the run game. And he's been able, whether or not he's been getting home on the quarterback or not, multiple times a game, he's in the backfield and causing quarterbacks to step up and scramble and letting other guys pick up the pieces of the sack. So I agree. I think Bo Atkinson's played really well. And this like Brandon Ennis to me, like it just sets up like a natural game for him to be successful.
Yeah. All right. Looks like you're sticking on defense for bold prediction number three, Berm.
Yeah. You know, the Bo Jackson broken tackles fumble thing is like one of those something's got to give conversations. This one is one of those nothing has to give conversations, because Ohio State and Illinois are like exact opposites on third downs. If you will look at this nationally, Illinois is only converting 37% of their third downs with the ball. Ohio State's completing 51% with the ball. Illinois is giving up 45% of third down conversions. Ohio State is giving up 19% of third down conversions, including 2 of 22 in the last 2 weeks. Illinois was 1 of 10 against Indiana on third down. Again, throwing that game tape out, I know, but like there's things we have to take from it. The game was played. It did happen. And I think that for Illinois to have any chance to win this game, they're going to need to invert these statistics on Saturday. And they're going to have to get Ohio State off the field on third down, which they've been terrible at doing. And Ohio State's been as good as anybody in the country moving the ball efficiently, however they want, running, passing, whatever. I just don't think Illinois has the athletes to do it. And so I think Ohio State's going to be right at the average. I'm putting Illinois in the 25% success range on third down, but I don't think Illinois is going to be able to slow down Ohio State. And so I don't know how to get to the bold prediction here, really, but I just think it's important to people. Like, this is a game.
Well, what happened to this? Where's Ohio the drill State, down?
Because I just think it's a telling moment. It's a telling metric for how this game is going to go. But what is the bold prediction? Let's say that Ohio State is 50% or more on third down and Illinois is under 20% on third down. Like, that's the stats. And I believe in them. And the Ohio State defense will do enough to confuse Luke Altmaier to put him in a pickle many times. And Buckeyes have been great at preventing third and shorts, but then even when it's third and short or fourth and short, they stop people. So it's been just a real pleasure to watch this defense. And for the Illinois side of things, it's been a real hellscape to get off the field when their defense is on third down. So that is not a recipe for success. So let's just, you know what? Bump it up. 60% third down conversion for Ohio State in this game.
You know why that is?
Because you're saying, and there's a chance.
It's because Julian Sain is going to throw for 350 yards in this game. And
new career high.
I'm kind of like in a real blender thinking about this game, because every time that I previewed it and thought about the challenge of going to Illinois and playing Brett Bielema over the last 6 months, which is a lot of times, like way more than any person should, it was like, well, he's going to control the football. They're going to be really sound tackling. He can play a physical knockdown dragout fight, and you don't want to get into one of those if things get, you know, the wind starts blowing, a tornado strikes Memorial Stadium. Like, he's the kind of coach, he's the quintessential Big Ten coach, and he can win that kind of game. You don't want to be in it. And that's not been the way that Illinois has played. They're getting like picked apart through the air. They are leaning on their passing game more than I thought they would. I think that Brett Bielema is like knows that this team is different than some of the others that he's built in the past, primarily at Wisconsin, but even the last few years at Illinois, where he may have to take some of these chances. He may want this game to be more possessions than in the past. And he might do some of the things that you recommended earlier in the week, which is like, just play man coverage and blitz and try and create some turnovers. They are number one in the Big Ten in turnover margin. I don't think that Brett Bielema is afraid to take chances. His job's not in jeopardy. He's done a fantastic job in the Big Ten. The Arkansas thing is like a fever dream. I'm not even sure why that exists on his resume. But if that is true, and if he is willing to play that kind of game wide open and take his chances, like, good luck, because Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate will feast. And Julian Sain has shown week over week over week that he's this pace of development at quarterback is unlike anything I've ever seen. It's as rapid as I've seen. And, you know, I know that Dwayne got better in a hurry, and Justin Fields, his development as a passer with Ryan Day, that happened in warp speed as well. But in terms of like the actual passing attack and the different ways that Ohio State can challenge teams down the field, we're seeing it incrementally and exponentially every single week. So given the weaknesses there, the worst Big Ten pass defense against the most explosive core of receivers, tight ends, and running backs, and an under the radar somehow still quarterback in Julian Sain, that is going to lead to an absolute statistical bonanza through the air for Ohio State. 350 yards and 4 touchdowns for Julian Sain.
A statistical bonanza. I just tend to think that Illinois has to keep the game wide open this weekend if they want to have a chance to win. Going back to what Jeremiah Smith said on Wednesday, like, the running backs will kill you, the tight ends will kill you, the wide receivers will kill you, all the guys will kill you. But like, would you rather it's death by 1,000 cuts or death by one? And I think that Brett Bielema is smart enough to realize that if you can keep the ball away from Ohio State, you can slow them down, but you still can't beat them in a 60-minute game. If you can just keep them on their toes and keep pressure on Julian Sain, maybe you give up some big hits, but you're going to get some as well. So I think that you're absolutely right. Let's go back to that Purdue game in 2018. Like, Dwayne Haskins threw it 73 times and had 484 yards passing. Like, it doesn't matter. High number of passing yards allowed doesn't mean you're not able to win a game. So I think you're willing to risk that as long as Illinois is choosing to not let Ohio State out physical them or not kill them with 1,000 cuts, because that's when, you know, Illinois, the best part of their team is their offense, which is unexpected and not the norm there.
All right. So this is what they're playing for. It has been 8 years since the Illibuck has been on the line. I think there's a story to be told there about where this trophy, the real one, has been hiding for Ohio State. We'll see if they can keep their hands on it on Saturday. That kickoff is 11 a.m. Central Time in Champaign. Very much looking forward to getting over there for game number 6 for Ohio State. Top 20 matchup and a rivalry trophy. And kudos to the actual company, Rivalry Trophy. They sent me this a long time ago, and it is one of my prized possessions. And the Buckeyes don't want to lose their version either. We will be over there for pregame keys. Those will be bright and early. We'll have the availability report. We'll talk about that on Saturday morning. We will have the notebook. We will have snap judgments. We'll have everything, no matter what happens for Ohio State and Illinois. Thanks for getting ready for the weekend with us right here on a Freaky Friday on the beat for the Austin and Berm show. He's Berm. I'm Austin. Have a fantastic weekend, folks. We'll see you in Champaign.
Did you know that Byers Airport Subaru is the oldest Subaru retailer in the entire country?
Right now, drive home a new 2025 Subaru Outback for 0% for up to 36 months.
Easy to deal with, easy to get to. Byers Airport Subaru.
By the airport!
See dealer for details. Offer ends 2/26.